Parsha Shoftim, Torah Kedoshah says that there's a mitzvah to put a bezdin b'chol sha'arecha. Start off with a lamdus. B'chol sha'arecha. The Rambam understands that mandate literally. And the Rambam, when he describes the mitzvah of pointing a bezdin, the Rambam says that there's a mitzvah to point bateidin, to point dayanim, to create a bezdin in Eretz Yisrael. Comes along the Ramban, and the Ramban asks, is it a Farish Gemara against that? The Gemara in Makos describes, there's a mitzvah, b'chol ir v'ir, b'chol plach v'plach, that there's a mitzvah to make batei dinim in every city. So how could the Rambam, which is based on the Pshuta Shel Mikra, say that it's a mitzvah specifically in Eretz Yisrael? At the end of the day, doesn't the Gemara tell us that there's a mitzvah to have batei dinim everywhere? Comes along Rav Shach in his Sefer Avi Ezri, and he gives a fascinating answer. And I think that answer opens up to us a mussar that I think is with a few lessons that are appropriate at the beginning of the Zman. And Rav Shach says that there's two halachos, there's tzvei dinim in appointing a bezdin. One, the bezdin is in Eretz Yisrael, the batei dinim in Eretz Yisrael, and the second is in Chutz Laretz. In Chutz Laretz, where there are Jews, you need to have a bezdin. If you take a look, it's in Lashon Gemara in Makos, fits in quite beautifully. Bechol ir v'ir, bechol plach v'plach. Every district that has Jews, there's a chiyuv to appoint dayanim, a mitzvah to have a bezdin. However, in Eretz Yisrael is different. Many of you are here learning for the first time in Eretz Yisrael as smicha fellows. Says Rav Shach, when it comes to the Bezdin in Eretz Yisrael, there, part of the definition of a city in Eretz Yisrael is that it has to have a Bezdin. Whether the city needs it or not, they could travel from Tzvat to Tveria, but nevertheless, there's a Chiyuv. It's part of the definition of the ear, is the city. In other words, in Eretz Yisrael, there is an idealistic notion of creating a paradigm that is ideal, even if it isn't pragmatically necessary. And that's what I want to bring out from the B'chol Sha'arecha. And I want to talk about what implication that has for us in terms of Avodas Hashem. Those of us who are starting a new Zman, learning in Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, for that matter, I think the messages apply throughout the world, but the idealistic components, the paradigm, the pinnacle of Talmud Torah, how does that apply to us in very, very practical terms? Someone said to me, Reb Daniel Epstein, I think he told this to me in the name of Reb Berkowitz, here in Yerushalayim. Fascinating observation. I don't know if it's accurate. I don't know if it's muchrach, but something that really caught my imagination. He described that when it comes to halacha, Reb Berkowitz is talking in halacha, he said that when it comes to the development of halacha, it's very interesting. We use the Gra methodologically. When it comes to our learning, the Gra's hashpa on our Beis HaMedrash and almost all of the Batei Midrashim and Yeshivas and Klal Yisrael is mind-boggling. And the Gra, with his approach of going back to the sources and analyzing things thoroughly, affected ultimately not only the pure approach of the Gra, it of course affected the Nachlas David, but even all of what we would call the Lamda Shederach Alimu today, even Reb Chaim was very much influenced by the Gra, though of course one could see differences between the two. But what's interesting is that Klal Yisrael, prior to that, and even after the time of the Gra, when it came to Halacha L'maisa, how much of the Gra's Psakim were even really followed in Europe? He pointed out, Rabbi Berkowitz pointed out, that there's really one place in the world that the Gra's Psakim are followed. And where is that? Here in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh. The Gra's Talmidim transplanted the Gra's Derech, Ki Mitzion Teitzei Sarah, from Vilna to Yerushalayim. Who conquered the day? In New York City, whose Psak is much more important? Our great Rebbe, Rabbi Willig, describes the great compromiser, the Ramah. The Ramah is a very, very different style of Psak than the Gra. The Ramah represents a pshara many times between different positions. The Grach is cholik on the Ramah, because he feels that there are times that you have to go back to the sources and see which pshat is most mochrach. Here in Yerushalayim Yer HaKodesh, I'm not saying we should change the minhagim of the Beis Medrash to the minhagim Agra, but what I am advocating is for us to make a cheshbon nefesh for the next 10 minutes about the idyllic form of Talmud Torah, even though that sometimes in the world out there, a pragmatic approach has to be taken. And I think that this is a tremendous charge for us and challenge when we transplant ourselves, when we take the Smicha program of New York and put it in Yerushalayim. There are adjustments that you and I have to make in the way we look at our Talmud Torah. I had a fellow that I used to be close with, a successful businessman in New York. His name is Mr. Masaryk. He was very close with Rabbi Yerucham Gorelick Zatzal. He used to learn Bechavrusa with Rabbi Yerucham Gorelick, and he used to prepare before the Zman had started in YU. He used to learn with him a few weeks beforehand, before the Zman started. There was another Gadol B'Torah that called Rabbi Yerucham a week or two before Chodesh Elul, or in the beginning of Elul right now. And he said to Rav Gorelick, he only heard one side of the conversation, Mr. Masaryk. He said, Rabbi Yerucham, it was clear to him that the other Gadol B'Torah, you'll see in a moment why he remains nameless, although you might figure out who he is, which I think is okay. He only heard Rav Gorelick's response, and Rav Gorelick, after a couple of minutes, said to him, I don't understand you, Reb so-and-so. How could you be thinking about anything else aside from what you're going to be saying Shiran on Dav Beis come Elul? And he said, this was a major, major Tzarech HaKlal. But at the end of the day, when it comes to Elul, the beginning of Zman, this is it. This is it. This is the essence of what a Jew is about. Now, for many of us, we're not going to be able to throw the rest of our lives into an ideal, pristine form of Talmud Torah for the next 100 years. But Rabosai, this is the time. This is the opportunity. Now, it happens to be that this Gadol B'Torah eventually retired and became one of the most famous manhigim of Klal Yisrael. He no longer said Shir anymore. And who knows which approach was correct? Rav Gorelick's approach or this Gadol B'Torah? But at the end of the day, you and I are not those two Gedolim. We're young Kollel fellows. And if we are young men who are sitting and learning, we have to make sure that the idyllic form of Talmud Torah, despite all of our responsibilities, despite all the smicha requirements and so on, the idyllic form of Talmud Torah remains. And I want to touch on three particular examples. There's no question that Klal Yisrael needs Rabbanim who know Halacha. And if you don't know Halacha, you could be the biggest lamdan in the world, you're not going to be an effective Rav and Manig and teacher. And I think that applies even to someone who's going to be a Shana Bet Rebbe for the rest of his life. Whatever a person is going to do, there's no question a person needs to know Halacha. I want to share with you something fascinating that I observed about my Rebbe Rav Nevin Zal Shlita. Everybody knows that Rav Nevin Zal has a strong say in Halacha. Do you know how many Sfarim Rav Nevin Zal wrote on his own? Rav Nevin Zal is prolific, right? You have in the Beis Medrash his Sichos, you have his Ha'aros on the Mishneh Berurah, you have now the Sfarim Yerushalayim B'Mo'adah. Rav Nevin Zal didn't write a single one of them. In fact, interestingly, the only Sefer that Rav Nevin Zal wrote that I'm aware of isn't even in this Beis Medrash. And that is a Sefer on Iyun. Amelus B'Torah, pure Amelus B'Torah. Rav Chizkio Nevin Zal tells me that he remembers his father sitting with the old-fashioned typewriter, writing up those Chidushim. Everything else was written by other people. Why? Rav Nevin Zal became a person who everybody looked for his Sichos, everybody looked for his Piskei Halacha, because he had a pristine and pure approach to Talmud Torah. He wasn't learning just so that one day people will say, what is the Pesach Rav Nevin Zal saying? No, he was learning because he loved Torah. Ad Kedei Kach even goes further, which is Miraf Sanigra. Rav Chizkio says he doesn't know how his father knows Mishneh Berurah. because he never saw his father learn Mishnah Berurah. Now, I could tell you, personally, I know that he cannot know the Sefer Mishnah Berurah Baal Peh. So it's a mystery. It's a mystery. But at the end of the day, if a person goes in and he wants all of Torah, then he comes out with something. If a person is coming in and he just wants to know the bottom line, and he's just looking for halacha lemaisa, 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 and he's not going through the sugya in an appropriate way, so then in such a case, there's a lot that's lost. Of course, there's a famous joke where they say that the wife lets her husband decide everything that's important. She lets him decide who's going to be next president of the United States, when Derek Jeter should retire, and so on and so forth. And the small decisions, which aren't so important, what they should have for supper, what school the kids should go to, and where they should live, those are the decisions that she holds on to for herself. Of course, if a person is going to be only far off in the air, is only going to be in the world of theory, is only going to be in the world of concepts, and the person is not going to work, and the halacha mandates, lasuke shmaitza liba de hilchasa, for sure, that's part of the mandate of learning bi'iyun, lasuke shmaitza liba de hilchasa. But at the end of the day, if it's not complemented with a pure desire to understand, how many times do the Talmidim rush through the Gemara, they rush through Abaye and Rava, they rush through the Taisis, because at the end of the day, it's not halacha lemaisa. If a person wants to really become a Ben Torah and a Talmud Chacham, you can't rush to Abaye and Rava. You can't rush to the Tosis. Yes, Rav Shechter points out, you don't have to read every Rishon. That's for sure. But at the end of the day, the most basics have to be clear. Because if the basics aren't going to be clear, if the purest part of Torah is not going to be clear, if the psukim aren't clear, so then in such a case, then what's left is something that is quite superficial. That's number one. Number two is that Talmidim often fall into the trap of a tension between becoming Bekiyam and Shas and really learning. There's a tremendous Yetzahara for guys to become Bekiyam overnight. In my opinion, my humble opinion, these years are absolutely critical to develop the skills of Iyun that will serve you for the rest of your life. Between the ages of 18 and 25, those are the years in which your talents in analyzing Torah are developed most critically. And therefore, if a person is not developing their talents in Iyun, in analysis, then the odds are that they won't be developed later on. My suggestion, what about Bekiyas? At the end of the day, what's going to be with Bekiyas? Without Bekiyas, Chazal speak about the significance of being a Sinai as well. Of course, do Bekiyas. I found in my own learning that the Bekiyas really, really comes from learning Mishnayas. Learning a lot of Mishnayas. You can even learn Mishnayas from a Gemara. Do Chazaras. But at the end of the day, don't at the expense of really being kona something, try to do a lot superficially. Do less well with real amelus, and as time goes on, if you're zocha to continue to do it, then you'll be able, and when I say zocha, I don't mean to be sitting and learning kol. Whatever you're going to be doing later on, with the daf yomi, as your mesechtos pile up, that's how Emir Tzur Hashem you'll become a baki. And the third and probably most significant challenge, and this is where the musa really comes in. Being in a program that ends off with a degree, that culminates in a degree, a beautiful degree, there's no degree that's more chashuv than this, and that is a degree of achievement in Talmud Torah, also leads for the possibility of abuse. The Rav in the Pirush HaMishnayos in Perek Hei Mishneh Hei, Perek Dalet Mishneh Hei, writes the following. On the Mishnah, Rabbi Tzadok Omer, Al Tasem Atara Lehizgadol Bahem. Don't make Torah a crown for you to find glory. Says the Rav. You know what the Rav's example of it? No pun intended. The Rav. Shalote Omer, a person shouldn't say, El Mod Bishvil Sheikare Rebbe. I'm going to learn in order to become Rebbe. Vyoshivuni Barosh. Ela Lamud Me'ava Vesof Hakavod Lavo. Person has to make a cheshbon anefesh. Why is he learning? The reason why we're learning is because that this is Dvar Hashem. We're zocha to be Yerushalayim Mir HaKodesh. We're zocha to be a part, Ashreinu Matov Chalkeinu, we're zocha to be a part of this beautiful Morasha, and we want to be connected to that Morasha. That's why we're learning. It happens to be that we have a responsibility. Klal Yisrael needs Rabbanim, v'chulei v'chulei. It could also be beneficial. There could be a matan schara b'tzida. But at the end of the day, that's the reason we are learning HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. And Rabosai, I want to add to what the Rav is saying. And what's the next step? Rabbi Tzadok says, don't use Torah as a crown. V'lo kardom lachbor bahem. And don't let the Torah become a shovel that you dig with. I don't need to enumerate and elaborate on rabbis that use their rabbinic position for self-benefit. There's nothing more disgusting than that. Nothing more most. And I could imagine that almost every one of you here could think of an example of that. Rabosai, it's not too far away. If a person is guilty of tasa atara l'hiskadel bahem, it's not so far away. If you're looking at it as a career, there's nothing wrong for my brother-in-law who's a lawyer to use his law for his own personal benefit, for his own personal advancement. But it's mo'us when Torah becomes a kardom lachbar bahem. He studied law to become a lawyer. Are you studying Torah to become a rabbi? Or are you studying Torah to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? There are beautiful, beautiful stories about Reb Chaim of Brisk. And I always thought of these stories about that Reb Chaim was not only a man who was a giant in Torah, not only someone who was brilliant, this is how the way I've presented in the past, that in the house that Reb Chaim allowed to become a loony bin of chesed, they said that one time Reb Chaim asked his son, the Brisker Rav, to get him a Gemara, and the Brisker Rav went into Reb Chaim's study. Reb Chaim's house was pasuach l'rvacha. Everybody could come into Reb Chaim's house. They say that there was a poor person who was sitting in Reb Chaim's seat in the study. And he was sitting in his seat, and he was using the Gemara that Reb Chaim was looking for. So the Brisker Rav, his son, said to him, "The Rav darves them Gemara, the Rav needs the Gemara." So the Ani looked up and he said, "Zog the Rav from Brisk, as there's then asach Gemaras in the shul. Tell the Rav Brisk that there are a lot of Gemaras in the shul." Reb Chaim in his living room, he had Hashavas Aveda sign. So I always thought of it, that this is the godless of Reb Chaim, the Reb Chaim in that house, in which the most important sefer in the yeshivas in the last 150 years was written, in that exact same house was the house that the Chedusha Reb Chaim Alevi al Rambam was written. Mamish, no Rav Oyam. But there's something more to Reb Chaim's godless of chesed. Reb Chaim had a fascinating balance. There's another legend that Reb Chaim once saw a bunch of kids playing and they were just frustrated with each other. He asked them what was bothering them, so the kids said, "We were playing horsey and no one wants to be the horse." So Reb Chaim offered to be the horse, and they said that at the end of the day, what happened was that somebody passed by and Reb Chaim was tied, the legend has, this has got to be a legend, that Reb Chaim was tied to the tree. All the kids had run away because they tied the horse to the tree. Reb Chaim had this, on one hand, this awesome, majestic component to him, yet at the same time, Reb Chaim was extremely down to earth. But it's more than that. Reb Chaim used his majesty of Rabbonus for something that was absolutely beautiful. They say when there was a fire in Brisk, Reb Chaim told the rich people that he was going to sleep with the poor people whose houses had burnt down until their houses would be rebuilt. The opposite, the exact opposite of using Torah as a kardon lachbor bo. Using his position, using his strength, using his koach to be marbe chesed. And I think that is something that we have to make a cheshbon nefesh about. We have to make a cheshbon nefesh whether that koach that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us in our ability to learn Torah, our ability to attain in Torah, whether it's something that we're using just to create this career or hafuch, the Torah that we learn can create for us the most beautiful of careers. And that's what the Rav is saying over here. The Rav is saying, so if that's the totsah of our amelus, then that's what's going to emerge. So Rabosa, I leave you off with these challenges. I leave you off with three cheshbon hanefesh. Number one is, yes, we need to learn lasuke shmeitza liba dehilchasa, but how exactly is that taking place? Is that lasuke shmeitza liba dehilchasa compromising the most basic form of amelus b'tor? We're just looking for the bottom line. If we're looking for the bottom line, then we're going to ultimately lose on the level of the bottom line. Again, there's a tremendous desire for us to have a tremendous amount of information under our fingertips. And that's a beautiful she'ifa. But where is that coming from? What's the motivation? Is the motivation coming from a good place? And at the end of the day, even if it's coming from a good place, it could very well be that it will ultimately will end up selling ourselves short. The big question we need to ask ourselves is not whether we're going to become a Talmud Chacham in 3 years from now. Not whether we're going to be able to give a fantastic shiur in 3 years from now. The question is, where are you going to be 40 years from now? And it's hard for a young man to ask himself that question. Why do I believe it's hard for a young man to ask himself that question? I know I was guilty when I was your age, so I would imagine that some of you struggle with that as well. First of all, we're young, we're caught in a particular time frame. And I think something else, if I could shake you up a little bit, I think young people are a little bit scared to think about their mortality. And that's what this has to do with Musar as well. The question is, where are we going to be after 120? Not where are we going to be in our career 3 years from now. And sometimes it starts from an innocent place. We have to provide for our family. And sometimes it starts from a place that's even more corrupt. And the third cheshbon nefesh that we mentioned is the challenge of where there's a degree at the end of the day. The moment one introduces a degree, and I'm all for it, there's a reason why I've been associated with Shivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan, and my brother's associated with Beis Medrash Gavoa, who have two totally different systems on this Nakuda. And I think our system is the correct one in terms of giving Talmidim a structure and so on and so forth. But at the end of the day, there are tremendous, tremendous traps that come along with it. Beis Hashem, we should be zocha to mekayim all the beauties of Yerushalayim, the idyllic beauty of Yerushalayim, that we should raise up all the cities of Eretz Yisrael in its ideal in Avodas Hashem, and then Be'ezer Hashem will be zocha to be Marbitz Torah to all the Arba Kanfos Aretz.